Welcome back to the program. It was right around a year ago that I was having a real tough time finding the right car at the right price. I did a hard target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, henhouse, outhouse, and doghouse in a 15-mile radius. But thankfully, my long and arduous search led me to Ryan Kemner and his great sales staff at Bellman Automotive in Troy, Missouri. Everything from the quality to the price to the service exceeded my expectations, and I know that they can do the same for you. Bellman Automotive not only has a wide inventory of new and used vehicles, but also has a top-notch service department and financing for everyone. You really can't go wrong at Bellman Automotive, 175 Turnbell Trail in Troy, Missouri. Give them a call at 636-462-3600, BellmanCDJR.com. The Bellman Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255, and the text line as well at 855-282-8255. Man, those wrestlers, they have to love what they're doing. Because you know that, I'm sure they're getting paid okay, but they're not making huge money. And to go through being beaten and injuries and stuff like that, man. I'm sure you've seen the movie The Wrestler. Rocky, you've seen the movie, right, with Mickey Rourke? You haven't seen that? And my favorite part in that movie is Mickey Rourke does like a hardcore wrestling match with this other guy. And like they're beating each other with like barbed wire and chairs and glass and stuff like that. So after the match is over, he has a heart attack in the locker room. Mickey Rourke's character does.
That one deals a lot with steroid use, right?
A little bit. Right. Yeah. I think I just caught that part. It's just about how like he was a huge star in the 80s and now he doesn't know how to do anything other than be a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
And when you reach a certain age, it's not exactly a very marketable skill. So anyway, so he has this heart attack back in the locker room and he has, you know, the double bypass surgery. And as he is leaving the hospital, one of the administrators there or secretaries at the hospital stops him and then hands him his envelope. And that was his money for the match that night. And it was like a couple $100. He's just like, what am I doing? You know, I almost died from a heart attack. I'm, you know, spending all my money on tanning and everything else. And this is the money that I'm making. Yeah, I got to find something else to do with my life. That was one of my favorite scenes in that movie. Are we ready for Take On Me, Rockio? Do we have that together?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get right into it.
All right, let's do Take On Me.
So usually this is our time to get into a lot of stories we haven't touched on yet, but I'm actually going to use the beginning of Take Time Today to touch on a little Cardinals information from earlier today. That is, John Mozeliak joined Frank Cusumano on the press box earlier today to talk about some points around the team. The big one I know everyone wants to talk about, we're going to talk about it right here from the get-go. Most comments on the Cardinals acquiring a bat.
Well, I do feel like you have to be open to that type of thinking. When you look at where you're going to try to find middle of the order type hitters, it's, as you point out, it's not likely going to come from free agency. So the trade market may be the one place you can do that. But, you know, everybody's looking for offense. Everybody's looking for good pitching. Everybody's looking for offense and good pitching that's young. I mean, that's where the game's going. And so, you know, as I look at our club, I certainly don't want to do something that ends up looking stupid over, you know, 3 or 4 years from now. So you want to be smart, you want to be prudent, and we'll see. But I don't deny that if we could find somebody that could change the look of our lineup, it would be helpful.
Cardinal Twitter last night after Giancarlo Stanton hit his second home run of the game was all a buzz about how the Cardinals need to make a trade for Giancarlo Stanton. And the Marlins are open to that because the team is for sale. And any chance they can make their payroll a lot less than what it currently is, they're going to try to do that. And Giancarlo Stanton is a power bat. There's no question about that. He might be the strongest looking human being I think I've ever seen on a baseball diamond, non-steroid. He does hit a lot of home runs. He does drive in a lot of runs. He's a big RBI guy. But he also strikes out a lot. If you think Randall Grichuk strikes out a lot, he strikes out more than Randall Grichuk. Now, granted, yes, he does hit more home runs, and he does drive in more runs than Randall Grichuk, but he strikes out more than him. He's also no stranger to the DL. I'm not saying I'm opposed to the Cardinals acquiring Giancarlo Stanton, but I'm just saying I wouldn't hold your breath for it.
All right, the big part about this Cardinal season that everyone started to talk about, hell, we even kind of shifted to that conversation last week when we had Brendan Schaefer on, is the future of this organization looking 2 or 3 years down the pipe. Big question around everybody is, what is the future of Carson Kelly? How does it work out? And especially in this clip, the big thing that Mo talked about, the idea of a timeshare between Yadier Molina and Carson Kelly.
The opportunity will come soon. It will likely look like a shared position with Yadi. I think Yadi, for the most part, will get majority of the playing time early on. But I think from a mentor standpoint, from learning the big league hitters, Carson's a bright young man and can take advantage of that. And I would say with Carson's skill set, if you had to move him around at first base, you could do that to give him some at bats. But you know, ultimately, I do see him joining our club at some point and being a contributor.
A little shocked by them actually going out right now and saying there'll be a timeshare between Yadi and Carson Kelly.
I'm surprised by that because I think Yadi's made it pretty clear that he's not interested in splitting time with anybody. I don't think it's necessarily a Carson Kelly thing. I don't think he wants to split time with anybody. I think Yadi thinks that he's just as good now as he was 3 or 4 years ago. So you're going to sell that idea to Mr. Molina. You have to sell that to the fans. I would say that, in my opinion, I don't know about you, Rock, Carson Kelly to me is an untouchable. I would not trade him at all. Because contrary to what BFib thinks, Yadier Molina will eventually break down and no longer be able to play baseball. And you're going to need a great catcher. And right now, Carson Kelly is the best catching prospect in Major League Baseball. They don't come around very often. So you have to hold on to him. So I would not trade Carson Kelly. To me, he's one of the untouchables. It's him, and it's Carlos Martinez. And I would say Alex Reyes, too, are the three untouchables on this team. I really wouldn't trade. Those are the three I wouldn't trade.
Well, let's talk about some of the other young arms. Speaking of Alex Reyes, in the organization, Mozeliak provided a scouting report for all you wondering. How are some of these young guys looking?
I think of the trading deadline as you know, are you looking for short-term help? Or are you looking for long-term help? And what's the acquisition cost in doing so? And so for me, I you're right. I try.
That's how he wants to approach the deadline. The scouting report on the young arms in the organization. There we go.
Flaherty, outstanding. Electric stuff. Zach Gallen, I would compare to like a Mike Leake. Very athletic. Works quickly. Dakota Hudson almost sort of looks like the Adam Wainwright type profile. Big, strong, durable. Really good stuff. Sandy Alcantara, probably the most electric arm in our system. Still trying to understand how to harness it. And then, you know, you didn't bring up this team, but when you go see Peoria, Jordan Hicks is someone that's going to touch as high as 101, 102 on occasion. And he's starting to learn how to pitch and not just throw. But, you know, the exciting part of our system is a lot of great arms. And, you know, as you look to the future, it's something to be very, very excited about.
Speaking of those great arms, two of them ranked in as two of the top 50 prospects today, MLB releasing their midseason rankings. Alex Reyes came in at the ninth rank. Also, Sandy Alcantara, the hard-throwing pitcher, came in a little bit later on in the late 30s, I want to say. They also had Carson Kelly and Mag Sierra getting in the top 50. Kelly at 36, Mag Sierra at 46. After hearing the comments from John Mozeliak, looking at the rankings they got there in prospectus, your thoughts on the future of the Cardinals?
Sandy Alcantara, everything I'm hearing about him is that he's a lot like Wild Thing Rick Vaughn.
Yeah, he touches 101, but they're balls a lot of time.
A little bit of a control issue, so I don't know. Maybe he can't see. Maybe they got to pull a Lou Brown and do like an impromptu eye test in the manager's office to see if it's a vision thing. But he's a young pitcher. He's someone that, you know, hopefully that he can get that fastball under control. Because nowadays, especially any young pitcher, they're routinely hitting triple digits on the radar gun. That is amazing. It's not just Cardinals, just around Major League Baseball, how hard some of these guys are throwing. Maybe that's why we're seeing such an epidemic of people having Tommy John surgery, too. But you have to love what you're hearing about the Cardinals farm system. Now, when it comes to the trading deadline, you basically have to decide on who you think you can live with and who you think you can live without. That's what it all comes down to.
A couple days ago, Berger, the NFL, finally notched another one in their long-standing series of aggravated assaults. About that one? Cowboys linebacker charged with aggravated assault just a few days ago.
Okay,
NFL never fails.
How many Cowboy players on the defensive side have been in trouble so far this year? There's been like four.
Yep. Randy Gregory's been.
Well, yeah. Randy,
God knows how much trouble he's out of.
Is Randy Gregory still part of the team?
I don't think so. I think he's just suspended, so it doesn't matter. DeMarcus Lawrence was suspended last year. Is he suspended for the first four games?
I think he is too. Is it this four games this year? I want to say they have four players that will not be available for the defense the first few games of the season.
Couldn't remember about Lawrence.
Which is why I don't think the Dallas Cowboys are really going to have that great of a year this coming NFL season. I just really don't. I think the New York Giants have got a lot better when they added Brandon Marshall to that already great receiving core. And, yeah, you have Dak Prescott and you have Ezekiel Elliott. They were great last year. There's no guarantee they're going to be great this year. They're going to be playing a tougher schedule. There's more film on them now. So you have no idea if they're going to regress at all or how much they're even going to progress. I think it's going to be a tough year for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm trying to remember who I heard say this. Maybe it was Shannon Sharp. They think that the Dallas Cowboys aren't going to make the playoffs this coming season. And you know what? That wouldn't surprise me. It really wouldn't.
That might surprise me a little bit with that offense they got rolling there. That's pretty impressive. We talked about it a little bit earlier today, but the big thing, I just can't get over David Griffin right now. Dan Gilbert of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cheaping out on Chauncey Billups, which I'm sorry, but this guy isn't an up-jumped, you know, film guy who never played the game past high school. This is Chauncey freaking Billups. This is an NBA Hall of Famer. This is a guy who demands respect when he walks on the court, and you're going to throw a contract so low that I don't think he's gotten paid that since he was in college.
That's disrespectful
right there. That's not frugal. That's disrespect.
Chauncey Billups, basketball player, you cannot question his credentials whatsoever. Chauncey Billups, the basketball executive, you don't know because he's never done it before. But doesn't mean that you can lowball the guy.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you can lowball the guy like that. And I think that's what Dan Gilbert was trying to do.
I think he
saw Chauncey Billups and he was like, look, babe, you don't have any experience doing this job, so this is what I'm going to pay you. And until you can prove otherwise, then I'll pay you more. But Dan Gilbert's been known for being – I don't think Dan Gilbert thinks that GMs are important.
But how stupid is Dan Gilbert not to realize that pay an extra $1.5 million will make LeBron happy, because you pay Chauncey $3 million a year, Chauncey takes the job, LeBron's happier. How is that not worth the money, you fool?
Yeah, I don't understand what Dan Gilbert's doing either, because, look, you're not even close to the Golden State Warriors. You're not as close as maybe you think you are. And you just went through the NBA draft and now through the front part of NBA free agency, and you do not have a GM, and you have a generational player on your team, and the only reason why you have him is because he was born in Akron.
Yep. That's the only reason.
That's the only reason. If LeBron James was born in Milwaukee, he'd be playing for the Bucks right now. That's the only reason why he's playing for the Cavaliers. It's got nothing to do with you, dude. He does not like you, Dan Gilbert. He came back because he felt like he owed something to the city of Cleveland. And now, if you piss him off and you run him off again, you're going to look like the guy who ran off LeBron not once but twice. Fine. I don't think the fans are going to be too forgiving of you at all.
Another NBA owner. I'm a big fan of him, and you might just want to step away from this conversation because I'm going to talk good things about Dirk Nowitzki.
I like Dirk Nowitzki.
Mark Cuban. I usually love Mark Cuban, but, man, I've got to say that Mark Cuban's has to make a public apology to the last 5 years of Dirk Nowitzki's career. And now
didn't really surround him with much.
No, he not only did not surround him with much, but I just feel like Dirk's the last person who should be taking pay cuts for the Mavericks organization. This is, by the way, this is the third time he's taken a team-friendly deal. By the way, if you didn't hear, signed a two-year, $10 million deal. After turning down a team option that would have paid him $23 million, he did get a contract to pay him $5 million. This is literally the opposite of every move Kobe made in his last years. I respect Dirk for this move, but I don't respect Cuban because apparently it was a discussion. Apparently what got Dirk to turn down the player's option was a discussion between Dirk and ownership, which tells me that ownership talked him into giving up the money because they promised that they'd use that money to compete. And I don't care if that's true. If it's true that they talked him into declining it, I'm down on Mark Cuban for that one.
Okay.
Dirk Nowitzki, I understand he doesn't want to hurt the franchise by taking the $23 million option. At least give the guy $8, $9 million a year.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I love Mark Cuban, but I think Dirk Nowitzki's getting a raw deal like he has the last 5 or 6 years of his career. I really think so.
But I understand what you're saying. If you're Mark Cuban, this is how you get around that, though, with Dirk Nowitzki. Look, as soon as you retire, you know that number 41 is going up in the rafters. You're the greatest Maverick player of all time. And you know he's going to have some kind of cushy front office job where his job is basically going to be to beat Dirk Nowitzki. and he's going to make up his any kind of shortcomings in the salary that way. I mean, no one's really crying for Dirk Nowitzki when it comes to money.
I'm not crying for the guy, but this is his third pay cut. This is the third time in his career he's taken a pay cut.
He could have gone. Yes, he could have gone someplace else.
But he doesn't.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Here's the thing: is that they use his emotion against him. And again, I'm not going to say that's not right. Mark Cuban's a businessman; he's always going to do that. But they know because he said it publicly that Dirk wants to be one of the only players other than Kobe to do one team 20 years. He wants that, and so. Literally, I quite simply think they said, listen, I don't know if we're going to be able to keep you if you take that option. We might have to cut you. And he was like, no, I want to stay here for 20 years. This is what I want. So I feel like they took advantage of that to a point. And again, I'm not saying it's wrong of them. They're a business. I understand doing that. But at the same time, it bothers me when a guy just took two other pay cuts and now you kind of emotionally turn him towards turning down money. I don't know. I just feel like Mark Cuban maybe took advantage of the guy. And well, again, that's what Mark Cuban does.
Mark Cuban did try to get DeAndre Jordan until the Clippers went to DeAndre Jordan's house and basically locked him in it so Mark Cuban couldn't find him.
I don't care. That's one of four free agent swings that Mark Cuban missed on. That's one of four. He did that four times. Promised Dallas, promised Dirk a big free agent signing, and all four times, whiff.
So I guess what you're saying is that Mark Cuban needs to concentrate less on Shark Tank and tweeting at Donald Trump and more on running his basketball team?
The problem is I like both Shark Tank and his tweets at Trump. So this is now I'm really, I don't know what to do with this one. Saying in the NBA, we had some interesting moves. I don't know why I'm loving that these NBA teams are signing these random Europeans out of nowhere. You saw the Tia Dosic signing for the Clippers. Some of the runs there, that kid, I mean, he's not a kid, he's 30 years old. That kid can sling.
He can
Those
sling.
Passes are ridiculous.
There are a lot of people in the NBA who have been watching his highlight clips playing over in Europe.
I thought Doug Gottlieb needed a new change of pants earlier today.
Who are so excited that he's going to be with the Clippers. And there you go. There's your replacement for Chris Paul. Wow. Now, is he going to be the Chris Paul, the same kind of defender that Chris Paul is? Probably not.
He's a 30-year-old Russian who just played in the EuroLeague his entire life, so I'm going to say no.
Well, no, but I'm just saying that, okay, there's your playmaking point guard. If they don't run Blake Griffin at point, there's your playmaking point guard.
I'm
right
calling
there.
It right now. This Theodosic guy will throw a bouncing alley-oop pass. I'm calling it right now. You'll see that happen.
It would not shock me.
Something ridiculous like that.
When's the last time there was a big hype about a European point guard coming from overseas that everybody was excited about because everybody loved his highlight reels? Marco Rubio.
Yeah.
And Marco Rubio he's an okay NBA point guard, but he's not elite.
Marco Rubio is better than almost anyone gives him credit for. But again, this is the second one. We saw the Kings giving the biggest ever rookie deal to Bogdan Bogdanovic. Not to be confused, of course, with the Wizards, Bohan Bogdanovic. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, keep up. The Balkans are taking over. We're going to keep rolling with the NBA because you know what? I think there's two NBA teams who are doing everything right now, and that's in the Miami Heat and the Memphis Grizzlies.
You like the Kelly Olynyk?
No, that's not what I'm talking about at all.
Oh, okay. What are you talking about?
The Memphis Grizzlies and the Miami Heat. Both Zach Randolph and Chris Bosh are getting their jerseys retired. There's some people getting criticism for both these organizations for doing it for guys who played six or seven seasons with the team. Personally, like I said here, I love what these NBA teams are doing.
I have no problem. Okay, obviously I'm a Heat homer. That's my team, so you know that I'm going to defend.
Yeah, I was giving you a pedestal there.
I'm going to defend them in any way that I can. But I mean, Chris Bosh was coveted by Pat Riley in the 2003 draft, but he wasn't able to take him. Toronto was ahead of the Miami Heat in that draft, and Toronto selected Chris Bosh. So Pat Riley was able to eventually get his guy. And I mean, I think just for pure admiration, I think Pat Riley wants to do it. Realize that no one sacrificed more coming to Miami as far as his play on the court did than Chris Bosh, and just like the reputational hit that he took as well. And Chris Bosh was a team player. He was a team player from the very beginning. So it doesn't shock me at all that Pat Riley announced that. But the thing is that Chris Bosh is no longer playing. Zach Randolph is still playing. He's going to be playing for the Sacramento Kings.
They're not going to retire it while he's still playing.
It just seemed kind of funny that they made that announcement right then and there.
He changed the culture of that organization.
I'm not saying he's unworthy. I'm just saying that the timing of the announcement just seems to me, it struck me as funny. Not
like
bad,
it.
But just funny.
I didn't have a single problem with it. I love what both these teams are doing. I do have to ask you a quick question. You say Chris Bosch took a hit to his reputation when he went to the Heat?
Yes, he did.
I don't think he did at all. Especially as a guy who was the only person in the world I knew at the time who was an actual Chris Bosch fan. I don't think he did at all because everyone agreed that he became a better player when he went to Miami, and no one really chided him the way they chided LeBron for leaving a team because Toronto never did crap for him.
He was the butt of every joke.
He was the butt of every joke because he looked like a dinosaur and people ran with that joke, but I don't think he took a reputation hit. Everyone acknowledges he's a better basketball player in Miami than he ever was in Toronto.
I think a lot of people were like, look, see how his numbers went down? He wasn't that good of a player to begin with.
Yeah, see that.
There's a lot of people who said that.
Yeah, well, those people are stupid. That's not. I don't know why we're taking their opinion into account at all. That's absolutely ridiculous. Dak Prescott, how about this one? Accused of using an auto pen in signing some of his football cards. Something that apparently has. This is an accusation. Apparently, it's never really been seen in the business, which is shocking to me in the first place.
Yeah, that's.
But did you look
at
the cards?
I didn't know it was something you could do.
I knew it was something you could do, but I looked at the cards. And I'm not buying this one. There was discrepancies in the D's on all of them. Now three of them had the loop from the D touching the other half, other side of the D.
Yeah,
all three of them had ones that are very similar, but the fourth one there was actually a little gap between the two. So I'm not sure exactly how an auto pen works, if you can shift it around and force it to create discrepancies by little nudges or something like that. But I know that because there's some people trying to point out like, well, they're in different spots on the card. That doesn't matter.
You just What's up, Giamatti?
Start the auto pen in different spots.
Oh, is it just like a stamper? How does it work?
An auto pen. I'm not. I mean, I know what an auto pen. I'm not exactly sure how they work. I know the auto pen. An auto pen is something that any famous person has because if you ever are sending out like
you're not going to sit there all day.
Yeah, if you're sending out like if you're a famous person who sends out Christmas cards to all your followers, you know you have an auto pen sign your name on all of them. The president has things signed by auto pens all the time.
Here's the thing that if you're going to sell something as your genuine autograph, you need to make it your genuine autograph.
I'm not saying he did that. I'm calling BS. I think Dak's innocent on this one. I think Dak is innocent on this one. By the way, really quick question for the Heat fan over there. Waiters Island, the real estate bubble, I think it's about to crack. I know this is calling a crazy one. I think that contract's going to look bad in a couple years.
I think it is going to as well, but Skip Bayless right now is already declaring the Miami Heat the second best team in the very depleted NBA East, so
oh,
who knows?
Good. I'm pretty sure that's good for about the seventh seed in the West.
I just looked it up. It looks like a fax machine, kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what it kind of looks like? Okay.
Yeah, it looks like a desk, and on one corner, it's got like you see the little pen, and that's where you slide the paper.
Special thanks to Robert Flores, Luke Korak, Luke Roberts, and the Neon Icon.